All that good singing tonight. Praise the Lord. I thought Brother Trevor hit a home run this morning, too, on that song. Man, that was good, wasn't it? On How Great Thou Art. Well, we've been blessed, not with just talent, but with people who love the Lord and who have good spirits when they sing. They want to honor Christ. Turn in your Bibles tonight to Exodus chapter number 15. Exodus chapter number 15. I am trusting the Lord tonight that God will help someone tonight in this message. I am confident of it. I want to preach tonight out of Exodus 15 on bitter waters in our path. Bitter waters in our path. Look with me in verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. You may remember in our studies in Ruth, when Naomi came back from Moab, and they saw her countenance and her face, and she said, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. And this is where she got that from. And verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Amazingly, just around the corner, just out of sight, and they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Would you pray with me one more time? Father, in Jesus' name, help me to be a blessing tonight to your children. Give them some hope tonight and some help, I pray. And may, Lord, they in return mix faith with what they hear and cast not away their confidence in you. And Lord, we love you now and we need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you look in chapter 14 real quick? Let's give the setting of our passage tonight that gives it more meaning. You know, in Exodus chapter number 12 is one of the, I would say, probably one of the most brilliant, or should I say, blessed passages in your Bible of where the Lord gives them instruction and says, take an innocent lamb and take the blood of that lamb and put it above your doorpost and on the sides. And when he said, when I pass through, he said, if I see the blood, or when I see the blood, I will pass over you. At about midnight, the Bible says that the judgment of God fell upon Egypt, and there was moaning and groaning and crying and screaming like there had never been before, because there was a firstborn dead from all the way from the throne of Pharaoh all the way down to him who was in prison. Someone had suffered the loss in their family. And so they ran out, the leaders of Egypt went out to Moses and said, hey, y'all need to get out of here before we all die. Get out of here. Take anything you want. And the Bible says they actually spoiled them. They took jewelry and money and food and raiment, and they just kind of loaded up and they just left town. And then you know how that the Lord led them right by the Red Sea. And here comes Pharaoh with his army. Now they've had a few days to grieve, and now they're mad. Okay? And want vengeance. And so now they're coming after them. We're talking now about the mightiest military on the face of the earth at that time. And they're coming after a defenseless group of Jews, have no way of defending themselves. And so the Bible says here in chapter 14, verse number 13, it says here, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord when he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Well, in verse 18 it says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." See, when God's working sometimes in your life and you don't understand it, he's got bigger fish to fry. It's not always about you. God's got other things going on to get him glory. You just happen to be around while this is going on. And so, because sometimes we get to thinking we're the hub and everything that goes on around us is the spokes, and that God's got the universe revolving around us. That's pretty narcissistic, wouldn't you think? The Bible says in verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel." When I see this, I'm telling you, I just stand amazed at God. And Israel, what they got to see and experience. "He removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel." How about that? God is putting something between them. You remember when Satan wanted to go after Job? And the Lord said, no. And you know what Job said? He said, I would go after him, but you've got a hedge around him and I cannot touch him. So there's a lot that goes also on around you that does involve you that you don't even see. And God is good to you to protect you. And the Bible says here, "And the pillar of the cloud went before them," in verse 19. Verse 20, "It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud." Now this is interesting. "It was a cloud in darkness to them," talking about Egyptians. When they looked up, they saw nothing but pure black. "But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night." Now that's an interesting verse of scripture. So we know what happens here. Moses is to lift up his rod over the waters. God parts the waters. They go across on dry land. And look in verse number 24. God has such a great sense of humor. The angels of God are watching from heaven. They've already wiped out all the Egyptian gods. Already, if it was called a wrestling match, they won all 10 of them. I mean, slammed them to the mat. Got every one of them. All of the Egyptian gods and their economy. Now he's fixing to destroy their military. Look at verse 24. "It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians." Because what now? See, they've taken their army and they've gone after the Jews, and they are now in the, you might say, the seabed. Because there's a wall of water over here and there's a wall of water over there. Now, if I was an Egyptian soldier, I'd have enough sense to know that any god that can do that, I'm not messing with his people. "It came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked on the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire." Now this again, God is a scientist. He is the top scientist anybody has ever known. God works through the things he's created. And sometimes we just want to make everything magical and mystical, but God has created this universe. And he is somehow or another, it just says that the Lord looked through that pillar. Man, it's like whatever this is between them, that he's sitting up there in his tower watching what's going on. He said, okay, now they're just about where I want them. Okay, and it says in verse 24, "He looked under the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians." What did he do? Well, it's like he had some angels there around him and he said, okay, boys, y'all go on down there and kick the wheels off those chariots. Now, I'm giving you the interpretation of what's happening here. Look at verse 25. "And he took off their chariot wheels." And so you've got these horses that have been trained for battle. You've got these beautiful chariots that are ready for war. Probably got spears and swords everywhere around them. And they're out there right in the middle. And then the Lord goes, he says, okay, boys, y'all go on down there. And they go to understand. Bow! Kick them wheels off of them. And boom, they hit the ground. And the horses are trying to drag, they're trying to take off, because you know what's happening? God's turned the water loose. And the Bible says in verse 25, and he took off their chariot wheels and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. You would have think they would have learned that already by now. And in verse number 30, it says, and the Lord saved Israel. Well, we'll back up just a little bit. Verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. What an amazing event. Over 600,000 men are watching God do a great miracle to protect them. Verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. That's a pretty good ending right there, is it not? You've got some folks that now are choosing to fear the Lord. They're believing the Lord and his servant Moses. So what does Moses do after all of this? Well, he takes his rod and he turns it into a guitar and he plays them a song. Now, I'm just kidding about that part. But the Bible says here in verse number 1 that he sang them a song. Now, the Bible says in verse 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Moses is a godly man. He's a meek man. He's a wise man. Every good man of God will teach you three things. He will teach you four things, actually. He will teach you the Word of God. He will teach you about the will of God that is contained in the Word of God. He will teach you to worship the Lord, the God of that word. But also, something else he'll teach you. He'll teach you the ways of God. And what you're going to see in this passage here, what we're going to talk about tonight, is the ways of God. And you're not going to understand the ways of God sometimes, and you're not going to agree with the ways of God sometimes, but he's always up to something. And the Bible says here, they're singing. I mean, the men, can you imagine 600,000 men lifting up their voices to God? And they're singing this song as Moses leads them. That had to be a marvelous sound and a marvelous sight. And as these men are praising God and lifting up their voices to him, verse number 20, Moses' sister says, man, I got to get in on this. I think I'm going to bring the women choir in and get them involved in this. And the Bible says, and by the way, men ought to lead in singing. Don't you think so, church? Isn't it a blessing to hear these men lift up their voices and sing? I love it. Look in verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and when all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. You say, well, I don't believe in dancing. Well, I know, I understand what you're saying, especially today. But the Bible does not condemn all dancing. I got news for you. He just doesn't. So some of you have more convictions than he does. I'm just telling you, you do. Cindy and I were happened to be in Israel, thanks to you, and we were visiting there by the Wailing Wall, and outside the Wailing Wall, there was a group of Jews gathered together for a wedding. And there were some men, they were in a circle, and there were some women in a circle, two different circles, and they were just rocking like this. They had their arms locked together, and they were singing, and they were dancing. It was nothing immodest, nothing immoral. There was nothing about it that was ungodly, but they were singing at a wedding with this couple that was about to get married. It was a beautiful sight to see. Now, I don't know exactly what they're doing here, but I do know they're happy. Could you quit throwing cold water on people that are happy in the Lord? Maybe some people express their emotions a little bit different than you. Amen? You know, I've heard Brother Brian several times say that he might just take off running one day. I'm waiting on it to happen. It's been 2 years in a few weeks. And when he does, don't trip him. Don't tackle him. Let him run. Amen. Show us how it's done, brother. Amen. But what I'm telling you here is they're excited. Verse 21, and Miriam answered, and sing ye to the Lord. So she's got her music. And listen, this is not a praise band, by the way. This is everybody involved here. The men and the women. Verse 21, Miriam answered and sing you to the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Now this is where we picked up our text. You see how wonderful an environment this is? I would say they had revival. They just came out of Egypt. They just went through the Red Sea. They just didn't know if they were going to die. And now they have experienced a great deliverance. And man, they're singing, they're shouting, they're dancing. I'd say they had a little bit of revival. Wouldn't you say so? You know, it doesn't take long. In just 3 days, they lose it. It's amazing to me what happens from a Sunday morning to a Wednesday night in your life. Of how God can stir you and help you on a Sunday in both services, and by Wednesday, you're dragging. Like somebody knocked the chariot wheels off your chariot. Amen? Now notice in this text here though, these are songs of victory. But here's what I want to teach you tonight. It won't take me but a few minutes. Andrew Bonar said about this passage, he said, let us be watchful after the victory as much as before the battle. Now I have learned that to be true over and over and over and over in my life, to the point of where that I expect it after God gives us a good day or something wonderful happens or we're encouraged and excited at the house, and then before you know it in 3 days something, the bottom's fallen out, something's happened somewhere that's got me back, you know, where I don't want to be. You understand? Okay, so notice that. Now time, only three days passed between singing and sorrowing. 3 days. Not 3 weeks. 3 days. 3 days. My, how quickly things change. Now the lesson to learn here though that I want you to see is my church family, my precious, precious church family that I love dearly. You got to understand something about the ways of God. They are on the path that God is leading them. They have come to the waters of Marah, and bitter water is on the path to the promised land. Marah is on the way. They are not here at a place of bitterness out of rebellion. They are not here out of rejecting the word of God. They are not here out of disobedience. They are not here out of unbelief. It is the will of God. It is the ways of God that God would lead them after this great victory to a place of where the water is bitter. And there's going to be some times in your life of where that God, you're trying to do the will of God. You are pursuing the will of God. You want to do what is right. And most of you in here, that is you tonight. You are faithful to church. You read your Bible. You pray to God daily. You try to lead your family. You try to pursue God's will in your life. And if the Lord were to point anything out in your life, you'd do your best to correct it. Now thank God for you that you want to do the perfect will of God. That we have a group and a nucleus here that are not self-willed people. That we want to honor Christ. We want to obey that book. We want to do God's will. But it's not going to keep any of us from being led at some point in our lives to a place of where the water is going to be bitter. There's going to be something that's going to come into your life, and God's not doing this to be mean. I've warned you as young people, one of your greatest tests is going to come when you are free to make your own choices. And you face some of the greatest disappointment right out the gate. And you will face some disappointments in life. You will. It may be from other people. It may be something that you disappoint yourself in. But you will face some bitter water. But I want you to see this. I really, in my heart, want you to understand this. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Brian, in Luke chapter number 4, the Bible says he was filled with the Holy Ghost? You know where the Holy Ghost led him right after he was filled with the Spirit? Into the what? The wilderness, right? They're in the wilderness. He said, man, if I could just get filled with the Spirit of God, I'm fixing to ride the top of the waves, man. I have got it made. The Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost, the ways of God, was to lead him into the wilderness to be tempted. God has led them here to be proved, to be tested, to be tempted, to reveal some things to themselves about themselves. Because he's got some other plans for them down the road, but it's sort of like you're going to go through this area of schooling, first grade, second grade, third grade, and the Lord wants you to pass this grade, okay? And so there's going to be some things that come into your life that are going to hurt you, disappoint you, and life's going to taste bitter. It may have been very sweet on Sunday, but by Wednesday, you may have a bitter taste in your mouth about what's going on right now in your life. Okay? And by the way, there are people who have a taste of bitterness in their mouth who don't want it there. There are some people who relish being bitter. They enjoy being bitter. They like being mean. They use it as an excuse. They blame other people for where they are. But some people do not want to be bitter. They don't. But they don't know how to make the bitter water sweet. So that's where the lesson has to be learned. And so that when God leads you and you're in the will of God and he brings you upon these bitter waters, he wants to teach you how to make the bitter water sweet. And you need to learn this because he's got some really big blessings just down the road. I'm talking about big old wells of water, palm trees. Why did he just take them there first? Why not just bypass Mara? See, that's why you've got to watch this. Name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Always positive stuff that comes out of these pulpits in America right now because they don't want to see God doing something like this. That God wouldn't do something like this. But you need to learn the ways of God. Even as a mother and father, sometimes you have to understand that if you want your child to grow and learn to trust the Lord, that they may bump into some things along the way, and you're going to have to let them learn how to make life a little bit sweeter. All right, now watch what happens here. Mara is on the way, okay? F.B. Meyer said, where there is a Mara, there will always be a tree. Isn't that a good statement? Where there are bitter waters, there will always be a tree. But guess what? You're going to have sometimes someone show you that tree. And the scripture here says, in verse number 25, it says, and he cried unto the Lord. And look, it says, and the Lord showed him a tree. The Lord showed him a tree. And I don't think it was just any tree. It says, which when he had cast into the waters were made bitter. So their circumstances have not changed in the sense of they're still the same water. But now it is drinkable because of the tree. They can take it. And the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and ordinance. And there he, what? He proved them. It discourages me as a pastor when I see young Christians get bitter at God and they can't seem to find the tree that God has for them. That they don't have to back out of church. They don't have to lay their Bibles aside. That God wants to use them, but they've got to get past these places that God has led them through. It is critical. The Bible says he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Mara is a place of learning and growing. Mara is a place of revealing where you must learn to trust him. Look at verse 26. He says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. God wants you to trust his voice. Knowing in your heart now that his voice may lead you through to some Marahs, but He is able to make the waters sweet. You got to trust Him. Hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in whose sight? The Lord's sight. How many times have we read the book of Judges? How many times did we read the book of Judges? Every man did that which was right in whose sight? His own sight. His own sight. And when you do what you think is right, you won't find the bitterness going away. But when you will do what God tells you to do and listen to His voice, God will sweeten the waters that you're going through. Look, He says, that which is right in His sight. And if you'll give ear, God's just trying to get you to trust Him. It's that simple. And to listen to Him. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was speaking to Peter and He said, Satan has desired to sift you? Do you remember when Peter denied the Lord, what he did right after that? He went out and he did what? He wept how? Thank you. He tasted bitter tears. And you know what the Lord prayed for him? Because what he wanted to learn in that situation? I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And God wants you in the situation that you may be in, that may taste, or that you're going through or have gone through, then you haven't shaken the bitterness from it. And it's still lingering in your mouth. The Lord wants to teach you that your faith in Him and your trust in Him is what He is trying to grow and extend in your life, that He might use you and bless you down the road. It's hard for God to use a bitter servant. Not impossible, because I think about Jonah. He had an attitude problem. But not likely that God would use you. Not how He could use you. And the scripture here says that if we will learn to listen to Him and trust Him and do what is right, God has, in verse number 27, some blessings afterward. Now I want to ask you again, think about this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit led Him where? To the wilderness. And after 40 days of being tempted, according to Matthew, do you know what happened to the Lord Jesus immediately after the devil left and the temptation was over? The scripture says that angels, plural, came to Him and ministered to Him. After 40 days of fasting, I'm sure that He needed, if you have, sometimes you watch in the Bible when the angels show up, they're pretty good about fixing a meal for you. Do you know that? And that meal will last 40 days sometimes. I'm just saying that when God shows up, when the Lord sends help, it can last you a long time. It can last a while when God touches you. That you don't need the angels to minister to you every day and every week, but every once in a while, you're worn out and you've passed the test and you've trusted the Father and God comes in and He just fills your bucket up. You understand? And that's what He did here in verse number 27. He said, and you know, when they're back, when they get to these 12 wells of water, maybe they said, man, what in the world were we doing complaining back there? But watch how quickly some of you have enjoyed the services today and what you'll be saying in a couple of days. Just watch it. It could be financial. It could be physical. It could be a family situation. And all of a sudden, you find yourself at another Marah. So what is it that made it sweet? Was it the power of positive thinking? Was it them looking at that water and saying, I command you to be sweet? I declare you to be sweet? No. They looked to the tree. And what does the tree resemble? What does that mean to you when you see that He put that tree in that water? What does that mean to you as a Christian? Does it mean to you the cross? Do you know what a cross is a symbol of, right? It is a picture of death. to self. And you're allowing the Lord, because you can't really nail yourself to a cross. But in that tree is where you yield yourself to God. And you say to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what you're up to, but as far as I know, I'm in your will. So right now, though this is bitter to my taste, I don't want it to be bitter to my taste. Lord, I'm asking you, help me to trust you. I love you. I'm yielding my will to your will. And Lord, I want deliverance from this. You just pour your heart out to him. You watch what God does when you start feeling that bitterness come up in your heart and your life. Sometimes it happens at the house. The Bible says, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. And so whatever bitterness that you're dealing with, I'm telling you, the answer here is this. Let the Lord show you tonight that Jesus Christ can give you the grace that you need to help in time of need. What did we learn in Hebrews chapter number 12 about our race? That God would give us grace for the race if we would humble ourselves and look unto Jesus, lest we give way unto the root of bitterness. And God does not want you to do that. He wants you to learn wherever you are. I expect it. I expect after a good week of meetings and the Lord blessing that church and the Lord blessing us today, I'm just looking around, what's fixing a slip, break, or tear? You say, well, you shouldn't think that way. Well, after about 5 decades of watching that happen, I kind of know something's going to happen. I don't know who, I don't know where, I don't know when, and usually it's going to be from a direction that I didn't expect it, even though I'm looking in every direction. But I've also learned that no matter where it comes from, that there are whales on the other side of it. And that I am not, by the grace of God, going to bow my knee to bitterness, though I can't fix it right away. You understand? Can't. I've just got to look to Him, yield myself to Him afresh and anew, and say, Lord, here we go again. I thought I passed this test, Lord. Lord, let me last longer than 3 days this time without murmuring and whining and complaining. Amen? Listen, this is what the Lord told me to tell you, and I'm done. I'm not going to stretch this out. I'm just telling you, testing is always followed by refreshing. God's like that. He's like that. Bitter experiences can lead you to blessings. Hannah was bitter. I'm saying for several years she was bitter. She had somebody at the house provoking her regularly. She let that bitterness drive her to the prayer closet and to her knees and to the altar. And she cried out to God in the bitterness of her soul. And God heard her. And I'm telling you, when you get that bitter taste, bow your knee, yield to the will of God and to the cross. Paul said, I am, who knows Galatians 2:20 by heart? I am crucified. He didn't say I was. He said, I am. He said, I die daily. I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So whatever's coming, understand as far as you know you're doing the will of God. It may be 3 days, it may be 3 weeks, it may be 3 months. I've asked the Lord if he's got 3 years on there, maybe down the road it'll be 3 years. But it's coming. Don't stop there. Yield to the cross, yield to the will of God, yield yourself to the Lord. Humble yourself before God. And say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I need you. I can't fix this. Help me. And God will. He's there to test you and to prove you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, would you encourage the saints tonight and give them hope? Tonight, and yield themselves, Lord, to the will of God and to the cross. And say, Father, I do trust you, and I yield myself to you afresh and anew, and I want this bitter water to turn sweet to my taste. So that, Lord, when I think upon a person, I don't get angry anymore. And when I think upon a situation, I don't talk about it with hate anymore. And Lord, you give me enough grace to even pray for those who have hurt me. God, please take this water and make it sweet. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please.